welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, I was listening to that the opening of that song, and it took me back to 1968, around that time, right? I mean, that song came out somewhere around there. But anyway, we were talking about the things that happened in 1968.
Well, briefly, in my personal experience at Columbia University Law School, the schools in Wisconsin, Columbia, schools across Berkeley, all these schools were falling apart. Students were boycotting classes. That was the beginning of pass-fail grading. Before that, there had been this rigid sort of grading process. Society was coming apart at the seams because of the Vietnam War and then the assassinations, and it really felt like things were falling apart.
You know, Sandy, it really did. Let's get these 10 in real quick. Spring, the Soviet Union invades Czechoslovakia and arrests President Dubček. The assassination.
Well, incidentally, that was the largest Russian military movement until Ukraine. The Czechoslovakian invasion.
So that must do at that point in time, with the nuclear and weapons and our relationship with Russia, that had to be a harrowing time.
Well, except that we had agreed in the Yalta Agreement after World War II that the Warsaw Pact countries were essentially within the hegemony of Russia. Or the USSR.
Right.
So actually, the United States sat on its hands. We had newspaper things about it. We talked about it. We tisked about it. The UN passed a resolution against it, but there was no intervention, and there was no talk of intervention.
All right. U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy, also known as Bobby Kennedy, was assassinated. Dr. King was assassinated. Anti-Vietnam War demonstrations turned violent during March in London, England. The Intel Corporation is created by Gordon Moore and Robert Noyce. What's the Intel? What was the Intel?
Intel was the beginning of chips. That was a conversion, the movement from transistors to chips. And Gordon Moore was a physicist, inventor, and in fact, he's the one whose Moore's Law is named after, which is basically that memory and chip capacity will double every year.
Must have been a lot of money moving around at that point.
Oh, yeah.
NASA's Apollo 8 space mission was launched on December 21st. 800,000 teachers, workers, and student protesters marched through the French capital during a one-day general strike. North Vietnam and Viet Cong troops launched the Tet Offensive, which was, even to this day, is bloody.
Well, and the Tet Offensive is what woke Americans up to the fact that America wasn't going to win the Vietnamese conflict. Whatever this conflict was, we had stepped into something we were ill-prepared for.
Well, Ho Chi Minh, and that movement, and really was the beginning of the end as we decided to leave. Dutch elm disease continues to increase with tens of thousands of trees now destroyed. We're still dealing with Dutch elm disease now.
Yeah, I mean, people who grew up in Milwaukee at the time, every street in Milwaukee was like a cathedral with these trees.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Every street had trees that met in the center of the street, and they were all elm trees.
Right. And even to this day, that disease is still, see leaves where they still haven't been able to correct that. The Redwood National Park is created in California to protect the giant redwood. So, you know, a lot of different things going on in 1968. But I just want to say that, you know, as a person of color and what took place with the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, and then you watch what's happening with Ketanji Jackson Brown, and you just see that these things may never change. You and I talked about you can't make individuals change the way they feel.
I think you were saying off the air that Martin Luther King, he was his movement at the time was to create legislation to outlaw, you know, to outlaw the things that, were essentially racist in, their basis, the laws. And so you can legislate things, but you can't change people's
hearts
with laws. And sometimes it appears that trying to change people's hearts in any sort of overt strength has a backlash, and people's hearts get more tied up with what they think. And so I think that's our problem now, is that we're now dealing with our subconscious and our the psychological tribalism that exists, that is such a serious problem. And Martin Luther King recognized that too.
Yeah, he really did. And I'll say this, and then we can move on. The fact that we've got people who still feel that way in 2022, that impacts other people. And I know you can't legislate, you know, morality and those kinds of things, but it impacts another whole group of people. And so until the nation can come to the realization that we've got to put that kind of stuff behind us, I don't think our nation is ever going to be able to live up to the ideals that it talks about. You know, it's easy to say it, but in practicality, that has to happen. And I know it's not going to happen in my lifetime. You just hope that the younger people will see it, and that maybe down the road, long after you and I are gone, that kind of hatred will just cease to exist.
Well, you mentioned the younger people, and one of the things, well, I think we'll talk about it later or some other time, but I think one of the real problems in our country is that we don't recognize the need to bring every child into being in a situation in which they have a square shot at equal opportunity, so that we have all this milk. The more milk you have, the more cream you get.
Right.
We need to make sure that we give every child a fair shot and a fair opportunity, and we don't do that. I mean, we just have let this child tax credit expire, and the Republicans who are letting it expire and want it to expire aren't replacing it with any other program to solve for this. I just heard on the radio this weekend, we were 38th among 41 developed states, countries, I mean. The United States is 38th among 41 developed countries in child poverty.
Wow.
We have more child poverty in this country than 37 of the other developed countries.
I mean, that should just be unacceptable.
Well,
because in the end, those children grow up to become adults, and then we talk about crime, and we talk about all the cities are exploding with crime. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
if you don't do something to deter,
well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
I mean, if you create an environment in which people grow up with no opportunities and nothing around them, they'll resort to their wits.
Yeah, first law of nature, self-preservation.
Yeah,
and even though that shouldn't be acceptable, you know, I'm not a person who has to indulge in the first law of nature.
Well, it's not acceptable, but it is probable.
Right.
That's what Americans ought to realize. Sure, it's not acceptable, but it's going to be probable behavior unless we deal with. And if we just all assume that our child was going to be born, our children were going to be born randomly into circumstances in the country, we would want any circumstance they'd be born into to give them a fair shot.
You know, Sandy, out of all of this melancholy conversation we've had over the last 25 minutes or so, I got some great news for you.
What's that?
Sarah Palin is back in the political arena.
Oh, damn.
she is running for Congress.
I saw she was running for Congress, which they have, what, one or two seats in Alaska or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, she has her hand on Russian affairs because she said she could see it.
Yeah, from her backyard.
From where she sits, I can see it.
But you just, you know, the retreads. You know, I'm noticing, you know, Hillary Clinton's name is springing back. What is it? I mean, there aren't any other people worthy of conversation politically. We have to bring back Sarah Palin and the Democrats have to bring back Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think they bring themselves back, although Sarah Palin probably made a couple of voyages, pilgrimages to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
Yeah, like our friend Tommy did last week. I don't know. It's hard to say. It must be a difficult process of entry into politics. You must have to have a tight little coterie of committed followers to get any visibility.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just Sarah Palin. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she was. You know, you she know, was fun. Know, she was fun while she was
Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's kind of made her name.
I know. She was fun while she was around.
Yeah.
You know, she kept excitement going. And, you know, it was John McCain, of all people, who, you know, made that mistake. And, you know.
Yeah, John would, if he were alive, I'm sure, would rue the day.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things like in life, the worst things we do in life always are the things that we think were a good idea at the time.
Seemed like
a good idea at the time.
Well, because she was eye candy.
Yeah.
And certainly there were a lot of people who were, you know, watching to see Sarah Palin. Not what came out of her mouth.
Well, careful here. Let me put my lawyer's hat on. We got to be careful here where we go.
Oh, okay. we've got to go to the break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some. I got a lot of stuff. Look, I've been promising we're going to get into some real stuff. But we will.
This hasn't been real stuff.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. 1968 was real stuff.
Yeah,
so that
really
was serious. Serious stuff.
We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is in the studio. We'll be right back.